The only one out of 5 days there was one issue was when my son bit my daughter hard enough to draw blood. But other than that, 5 days of one incident. 5 days of one incident, and I'm even though it was a bad one, I say we still did all right. We came out even.
Draw blood, like that's a. How do you
He's
bite
two.
Someone?
He's two though. He's two. This wasn't like a teenager or anything.
Does he have razor teeth?
He just has no limits.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
My name is Woods Lisenby. I'm the executive pastor down in Mobile, Alabama at Dauphin Way United Methodist Church. Been friends with Sam for a hot minute since back at our hunting college days. I've got a beautiful wife, Brianna, and two children that are wonderful. August Rose is about to be 5. Bradshaw is 2.5. And I'm excited to talk about John's gospel.
The gospel according to John. Absolutely. So we're going to be in John 21, 1-14. Will you read that for us?
I got it right here in the New Revised Standard Version. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. And gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." And they went out and they got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it. And now they're not even able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, and for they were not that far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with the fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of that fish that you've caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God, and together we say,
Thanks be to God. There is so much to this passage that I'm like, always like, you can't talk about all of it, but like, you got like, so the first thing is like, oh, like these people went, and like a couple others, like we're not, that their names aren't important. Others, not, like would hate to be them. The other two, but you know, that, you know.
Thomas gets named, Nathanael, who we never hardly talk about Nathanael, but he gets named, and then two other random.
And these like two other jokers. And then you've got like Peter putting on his pants.
Oh no, he was not just pants. That dude was naked. Yeah, so he had to put on like robe, coat, who knows what. But like, I don't know. That was one of my first questions too. Like when I went through my list of questions, like why is he fishing naked?
Well, also, I was so grateful that you're my guest here on the podcast, because I was like, I really needed somebody who was going to read it as naked. Like that is really, that's how I think the community of that wrote the Gospel of John. I think that's what they intended. I think they were like, this is what, I mean, they didn't speak English, but.
I'm assuming that a large percentage of your listeners are maybe from your particular area there in California, probably some from the Alabama Florida Conference. But those who are not from our conference, the Wiregrass the area from which I come, I'm raised, has a very distinct dialect, even in the South. And so you're welcome, world, for exposing you to the vernacular and the pronunciations of the Wiregrass. And that's
thank you.
Wiregrass, W-I-R-E, grass. Yeah, so there you go.
It is just magical. Well, and we get John 21:12, which I often quote, which is, Jesus said, come, eat breakfast. You know, maybe the greatest Bible verse in the Bible.
That is a good one. It's if we can just say Jesus told us to eat breakfast, that you'll stop skipping the most important meal of the day.
That's right.
As we get into kind of the, as I was reading it, the things that struck me and the things that I was able to then begin moving is, if I were writing, using this to write a sermon, what nuggets would I pull out? What pieces of interpretation help influence the way I understand my relationship with Jesus? I like the idea that this is kind of a callback to Luke 5, to the last time where the people's nets were overwhelmed. And it's kind of at the beginning of the ministry in Luke. And this is kind of here at the end in John. You know, the rest of the Gospels don't have this here in their Gospels. And so you have this idea where the work is not done, right? And Luke is like, I will make you fishers of men. Well, Matthew says, I'll make you fishers of men. And then and Luke is there at the beginning when they're calling and they first get to see the nets. And this man's amazing. Let's follow him. But in John, it's like, yeah, but the works, you still got to, there's still fishing to be done. There's still things to happen. There's still miracles before you. And it's not over just because the gospel book is ending. It's just beginning. And so when I think about the placement of this story in John, I think it's significant.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So that word appearing, the Greek word they use there is actually pretty much only ever used whenever it's like a divine appearance. It has a deeper meaning than just to like to show up. It's occurring frequently in the New Testament, to most frequently when God or Christ appears in a divine way. In all the cases that it's used, it's not merely just a visual, but it's also like a spiritual perception that is deeper than just like seeing Jesus on the shore. It's like they spiritually, physically experience Jesus appearing.
Yeah,
which I thought was a worthwhile note.
My former senior pastor used to talk about how interesting it is to her that, you know, you look at like Jesus has shown up in the resurrected form and like been with the disciples. And so they are living in this like resurrection world. And yet what they do is like do what they know, which is go fishing. Right. Like this is a new reality. This is a new thing. And yet those things we know kind of remain like steady and steadfast for us. Like we still go fishing. We just like then like Jesus shows up.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. I was thinking that same thing. Like, what do you do when you're waiting for Jesus? Right. Because though John doesn't say it, Matthew tells him to go back to Galilee and wait for him. And as the disciples go back to Galilee, this is before they go back to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's descended and all the things, like before the church has launched officially, they go back to Galilee and they just wait. And then there's this season of like, well, we're here. What do we do? Well, let's just do what we know how to do. Let's fish. Peter doesn't give any explanation, right? He doesn't say like, what do y'all think we should do? He just says, you know what? I'm going fishing.
Right.
And so when they're waiting, when they're doing their normal work, the things they know how to do, Jesus appears in a miraculous way. And I think that that is such a good witness for us. You know, not every day is going to be this grand plan of I'm participating in a church launch or I'm participating in the next revival thing that's happening. It could just be a normal day of work. But even then, Jesus can still appear in a miraculous and wonderful way.
And I think that's it, is that kind of in this ordinary, right? Like that is, I think, a huge part of Christianity summed up is like God steps into the ordinary, right? And like we experience God in the ordinary. Not that there's anything wrong with like these big moments, right? Not that there's anything wrong with kind of these like really amazing experiences that we might have when we're, you know, at a retreat or, you know, doing spiritual renewal or those kinds of things. Like those matter. And it is kind of the day-to-day living that not only does God show up, we can kind of expect God to show up, right? We can kind of expect, right. and it's going to have sustenance, right? It's not just like Jesus shows up. They get to the shore and Jesus has cooked some fish for them.
Right?
Like there is both literal and metaphorical and like spiritual sustenance that Jesus provides.
Yep. And I think it's a reminder too that the work that Jesus does, I think as pastors, we sometimes think that we are always doling out. We are the people at the other feeding 5,000 who are giving the bread and giving the fish. And it's important for us to be a part of Jesus's work, which is true. Don't get me wrong. But it's a helpful reminder that we're not better than or we're not different than. Jesus wants to give us fish and bread too. The disciples are the only ones in this story, right? They're the ones that Jesus is calling to come back to the shore and has prepared for them fish and bread. There's no congregation there. There's no hundreds of people following them. There's no hillside full of people that are trying to get in close to touch and see and all these things. It's just the people. I mean, it's just the disciples. It's just them there. And Jesus has prepared it for them too. And I think that's a helpful reminder for me as a person who thinks like, I know this sounds cliche because we hear this in seminary. You hear this growing up, like, don't be so busy serving Jesus that you don't spend time with Jesus. But it's still true. I mean, here at the end of the gospel, he's still teaching them, I'm doing this for you too. You got lots of work to do ahead of you. They got fish to catch, but like, I'm still preparing a meal for you.
Yeah. I also think about how meaningful it is when we talk about like the ordinary, how meaningful it is that Jesus, not Jesus, Peter. Peter says like,
different
I'm
guy.
Gonna go. Jesus, Peter, they're the same, right? Peter says like, I'm going to go fishing. And then his friends say like, oh yeah, I'm going to come along. Like, and so it is kind of in this, like when we are doing ordinary things together, I think like there's something, when I say magical, I don't mean like actually like magic, but I think there is like this sense of like magic that happens when we are doing things together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That the Christian community, the fellowship, the body of believers gathered together in the ordinary thing is itself miraculous. And itself a chance to what we often say, or what I often say during our worship planning, because worship happens every week. Like it can be an ordinary, repetitive thing, and that's kind of the point. But we're creating atmospheres for people to meet with Jesus in a way that hopefully their lives will be transformed. Not to say they can't happen outside of there, but like we think worship is pretty ordinary and also pretty miraculous, right? It is something that you wake up on Sunday and you go to. And hopefully, you know, you get everybody there all dressed the way you want to be dressed and you make it on time, if you make it on time, or if you go on a Sunday night, or if your church is meeting at a bar somewhere, wherever it is, you show up, you get to that place. And it might seem ordinary at first, but then there's also the chance for the miracle to happen where you just encounter Christ in a way you never have before. And so anytime, you know, whether it's you and your friends, and if you're on a boat and you encounter Jesus, or you're in some high church falutin sanctuary somewhere, miraculous things can happen when people are gathered together in that way.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Is there something that you're going to kind of, after reading this today, you're going to take with you, think like, oh, I actually think this applies to my life kind of today and right now?
Yeah, I think the nets not breaking was important for me. Right now, I think we're in a season of kind of calm, even though it's Lent. There's not a whole lot in my either personal and professional life that feels overwhelming at the moment. But there have been plenty of things as of late that have, whether it's denominational conversations or things related to committees here at the church, or you know, just familial things you work through. There are times in life that just feel very big, very heavy, very weighty. And when Jesus told them to cast their nets to the other side, knowing the miracles happen, the nets were strong enough to hold the miracle. The nets were strong enough to do the work. The nets were strong enough to be able to be pulled into the shore with all those fish. And the nets didn't break, which I don't know would be that common for a regular net if 153 fish showed up. And so when Jesus provides a miracle, when Jesus is working in your life, when Jesus is calling me to do something, I can have faith, and I can believe that even the difficult times Jesus is providing, God is with me. That doesn't mean it's all easy or it's going to be perfect or I'm going to be able to pick up the net by myself or anything like that. But just that provision is there. I think it is a reminder, as we Wesleyans like to celebrate, of the assurance of God's grace.
Yeah. I love that word, and I think it's a good word for me and for all of us, although, you know, right now we're in Easter, not in Lent woods.
Sorry, you're right. My bad. No, well, in Easter, we celebrate it even more. The resurrection is the proof of it.
But I think it is a good word for us as we go to know that, one, God is going to show up and the miracle is going to happen. And two, that provision is there, right? That there is a net that can hold that miracle. Not that that miracle can be contained, but that it can be kind of held and cherished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Love that. Will you pray for us?
Oh, I would love to. God, we thank you that you are appearing in our lives, often in ways that we are not expecting. Often when we are in the midst of the ordinary, you show up. And when you show up, God, we always know that you are capable of doing miraculous things and that you often do miraculous things. And so we ask that you help us to notice those things, to see you on the shore, to hear you when you're calling, and to give thanks for the fish and the bread and the nets that never break. We thank you for your presence in our lives, and we celebrate you with all the alleluias in this season of Easter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Woods, thanks so much. This has
been, thank you, Sam,
a real joy.
I'm glad to have gotten to do it.